Sometimes you just got to get a little bit more. Just got to get a little bit more. Welcome, welcome, good morning. Welcome to you that are in the sanctuary. Welcome to those that are tuning in for the very first time. My name is Brother Walter Bland, and I will be, having your sermon this morning. I don't normally sing. I don't normally lead a song, but I decided that today would be one of those days where I just got a little bit in. So I appreciate you all helping me with that. First-time visitors, returning friends, those that have decided to make Woodlawn Park your church home. And when I say church home, I want you to understand that I'm talking semantically when I say church home, and we'll get into that, or their place of worship. It's been a tough week for me. I think Brother AC talked about we had a death in our family. When one of the members of the body of Christ have a death in their family, we all have a death in our family. So I just want to give my condolences again to the Richardson family, the Richardson clan, as they call themselves. Also, I know that Sister Jetnay Ellis and the Ellis family are breathing a sigh of relief because they had the women's brunch on yesterday. It's there, it's done, it's over. Let's give her a round of applause. If you've never planned something and there were multiple people, multiple entities that you had to bring all together, you understand how tough it is. Some things in life are tough. But they say that, matter of fact, I'm going to put it out to you guys. What is some of the toughest things that you've ever done? What is the toughest thing that you've ever done? The toughest things, just throw it out. Toughest thing. Oh, well, he went right to the top of the chart. He said, get married. Okay, anything else?
Give birth.
Give birth. Very tough.
Quitting my job and working for myself.
Quitting a job and deciding to work for yourself. Doing homework. I feel you. That's little Sam. Yes. Some say the toughest thing that you can possibly do in this lifetime is just to decide. To decide. Whether it's to decide to lose weight, decide to do your homework, decide to get married, decide to do what's right in God's eyes. It's tough, but all it takes is a decision. It takes a decision. Make sure you stand back for the comparing notes session. We're going to start at 12:30 prompt, where you have some questions, some comments, you know what, even criticisms. Bring your questions, concerns, and criticisms, and let's talk amongst ourselves to work it out. Amen? Okay, here's what I do know. We encourage each other and provoke each other to good works through our trials, our adversities, and we ultimately attempt to show and display the same type of love that God shows for us when he decided to reconcile mankind through his son. I know, and for your notes, there's only one way to be reconciled. The Bible says it like this, and Jesus says it. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Now, when we look at the way, semantically, we'll look at that again. The truth, we'll look at that. And the life, we'll look at that as well. For your notes, first slide, please. This one way is tough for many to understand. One way, semantically. There's three forms of semantics. The first one is formal semantics. Formal semantics. The second one is lexical semantics. And the third one is conceptual semantics. It'll be up on the board shortly for you guys, for your notes, so you can take a picture. Jesus makes his case for redeeming mankind simple and plain when he says that, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So the goal of this lesson for today is to understand that just because God is willing to forgive us and Jesus has already paved the way for reconciliation, it doesn't release us from our responsibility to do something. It does not release us from the responsibility to do something. Jesus paid it all. Yes. All I have to do is believe. Well, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We're talking about that belief, again, semantically. But reconciliation, salvation, making your life right or righteous in the sight of God costs something. Thank you, Brother Taihei, for the awesome word of encouragement, because it kind of ties right into the lesson today. And I'm going to take you guys back, because y'all looking at me funny right now. When I was growing up, we didn't have a lot of money. And we used to go shopping at some different places. Not Saks Fifth Avenue, not Macy's, not Heck Company, none of those things. There was a place called Epstein's. Anybody remember Epstein's? There were some other places, like the very first slide on here. Kmart. We got our Kmart, our shoes. They weren't Nikes, they was Ikes. The M was missing. We didn't have the money. We didn't have what it cost. There was another store. I like this personal store. I like this store, this next store, Marshall's. Now, when you go into these stores, I know none of you guys have had to do this because you guys work, you know, every day. You got good jobs, good government jobs and stuff like that. But when you go into certain stores and you don't have enough, you got to do something called layaway. Layaway. Anybody know what layaway means? You don't have the total price. You don't have it in your pocket, so you just put just a little bit on it, just something on it, just to hold it, just to hold a place. And you work and you get your money up and then you go back and get what you really wanted. And I knew you guys would understand that when you got $1,500, you got $1,000. You got $1,000, but your bills are $1,500. And at the end of your money, you still got some month left. You gotta do some things. You gotta call some people and make some adjustments. You gotta say to your bill collectors, listen, I don't have the whole thing, but I can put something on it. I can put something on it. I see some of you guys laughing, so you understand what I'm talking about. The title for my lesson this morning is Put Something on It. Okay. So this something refers to an unspecified item, a situation, a quality, normally used to indicate an unknown amount. It makes a number or quantity less precise. It can actually be used to describe a person as well. Cost, the money, the monetary value required to buy, to produce, or to do something. Put something on it. And in our text this morning in Luke chapter number 14, and we're going to start reading the verse number. Matter of fact, we're going to start in Luke chapter number 14, and we're going to start at verse number 28. Mind you, at this time in biblical history, Jesus is still on earth, and he's talking to his disciples. As a matter of fact, I think we're going to go up to, we're going to look at verse number 25. 14:25. Look at this. He says, now great multitudes went with him. Now, I don't know how many is a multitude, but I'm assuming it's more than two, it's more than 10, it's probably more than 100, but a great multitude went with him. And he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate, underline in your Bible the word hate, because we're going to talk about semantics, what exactly that means. Does not hate his father and mother, his wife, his children, his brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also. He cannot be my disciple. He goes on to say, for which of you, everybody eyes up, look at somebody, say, which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation, he's not able to finish. All who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. I know if you're a homeowner, you can relate to this. You've been to Home Depot and you had a project. You bought some material and you got home and then all your material runs out. You got to go back to Home Depot. Same guys in line, taking your order. You get your stuff and you go back home. Your material runs out again. You got to go back to Home Depot. Same guys. He's still on. They got 12-hour shifts. And he sees you. You back again. You buy some more materials. At some point, when you keep coming back to his line, he's going to say, listen, you must didn't count the cost. You didn't measure this correctly. And I want you to understand that when you decide to not only have a relationship with God, to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's going to cost you something. I can't stand here before you all and tell you what that something is. But we can tell by at least 9 biblical examples what the initial cost is going to be. Everything that comes after that is going to be between you and God. But it's going to cost you something. So I wanted to take some time today to look at some biblical examples of some people who didn't count the cost. And they came up with some things. They were just like us. They came up with some excuses. I got to do this. I got to do that. I don't have enough time to come to this dinner. Misplaced preeminence. You're going to see that in Scripture as well. And then you're going to see where a person had to determine what the cost of peace was going to be between him and another army. What will be the cost of peace between you and the Lord Jesus Christ? So let's pick up. Do I have a reader this morning? Brother Knight, can we go to Luke chapter number 14? And I want to look at starting at verse number 15. Luke chapter number 14 and start at verse number 15. Read along if you can. Now, when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things. Let me know when it's on. There it is. Yes. Yes.
Then he said to them, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many.
How many did he invite?
Many.
Uh-huh.
And sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready.
Yes.
But they all with one accord began to make excuses.
Wow. What's the first one said?
The first one said to him, I have no piece of bread.
Yes.
But go and see it. I ask that you have an excuse. And another said, I have no 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. So another said, I have heard a wife, and therefore I cannot come.
Mm.
So that the servant came and reported these things to his master.
Mm-hmm.
Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant,
go out quickly into the streets, lanes of the city,
and
bring in here the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind.
And the servant said, master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is trouble.
Stop right there. We should know by now that Jesus spoke to his disciples in parables. And these parables were stories where we could understand and get the gist of what he was actually trying to get across to us. I don't know about you, but I see that the Jews, the Jewish nation, were the first to have an opportunity at salvation. And we all know that through historical events that the Jews were the ones who killed Jesus Christ. They got invited to the supper first. Here come the Gentiles. And we look down at verse number 24. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. But then in verse 23, then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways, the hedges, compel them to come in that my house may be filled. But back in verse number 21, he talked about the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. Right? This reminds me of how we come to God. We come with all of those things that happen on our inside, all those things that happen over our lifetimes when we come from dysfunctional families, when we've had situations happen in our lives that kids should not have to go through. And I'm trying to put it in a way where you guys can understand what I'm saying, but not having to say it. Leaving all to follow Christ. Put something on it. Excuses, and when you have excuses when it comes to obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, will cost you a seat at the dinner table. It'll cost you a seat at the dinner table because at some point your life will be over and you will not have an opportunity for the obedience. You won't have the opportunity to do what these people did in God's word who decided to follow him. Let's look at Luke chapter number 14 and verse number 30. Brother Knight.
But as soon as his son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood, his father's, he killed it at a calf for him. Romans 15, let's go to 30. Saying,
yep.
This man began to build and was not able to finish.
Yes.
Or what king going to make war against another king does not
sit down, consider
whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him for 20,000. Or else, while the others is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has
cannot be my disciple. I see the title. Put something on it. Put something on it. Conditions of peace. Can you imagine? We're all going into a battle. And we have 10,000 men with us. But we're going to fight 20,000 men. Odds are stacked where? Against us. Odds are stacked against us. If we smart, we're a smart king, smart ruler. We try to save our people. Same thing in Matthew chapter number 1 and verse 21 when he said that you're going to have a son and you're going to name him Jesus. He's going to save his people from their sins. But you're going out with your army. But before the bloodshed starts, you send a delegation and you ask for conditions of peace. And God has given us conditions. He's given us conditions of peace. We're not going to look at all of them, but let's just look at one right now. And we're going to look at this during the after sermon session, the compare and notes session. Let's look at Acts chapter number 16. Now, before we get there, we already know that to obey God's word, he asked us to go through 5 steps. We have to hear God's word. So then faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God.
Yes, sir.
He says in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 6, without faith, it's impossible to please him.
Right.
He that comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Can we look at the conversion chart up here? Confession must be made that Jesus Christ is in fact the Son of God. Also, you have repentance, Luke 13 and 3, and then finally being baptized for the remission of your sins. If you can see this chart, and I'll hand them out during the comparing notes, we're going to look at number 9, the Philippian jailer. That's Acts chapter number 16, and we're going to look at verse number 32. And if you see the chart, it says the cases of conversion. Teaching and preaching, sinner heard, sinner believes, sinner repents, sinner confesses, sinner baptized, and then the results. It costs mankind something. You have to put something on your salvation. Not excuses. You have to put something on it. And here's the start. Acts chapter number 16. And we'll start at verse number 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns to God. Prisoners were listening to them. Now they are in jail right now for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they're in jail singing and praying. Do you think the other prisoners heard? Yes. Suddenly there was a great earthquake. Foundations of the prison shaken, doors open, chains loose. The keeper of the prison, this is the Philippian jailer, awakening from sleep. We can all attribute this to ourselves because some of us are asleep right now. Mm-hmm. Keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep, seeing that the prison door is open. Supposing that the prisoners had fled, he drew his sword. He's about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we all are here." Listen to this in verse 29. He called for a light, ran in, fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. He brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now, I want you to ask yourself a question. From the five things that we know that where salvation must take place, has he heard the word of God? Has he heard the word of God? Huh? You guys need to come to a compare notes session. So if he hasn't heard the word of God, then how could he have believed? Has he repented? Has he confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Has he been baptized? Okay, let's go. Let's read on. Verse number 31. So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Is he saved now? Because he believed. He has an ingredient. If you go back to the chart, the conversion chart, he has belief. He has belief. Let's continue reading. Then he spoke the word of the Lord. Yes. Yes. Okay. Now has he heard the word of God? Yes. Has he believed? And I want you to see, semantically speaking, putting it into context, the three conceptual, lexical, and then formal semantics. Being able to read into it. He says, then they spoke the word of the Lord and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And I want you to see this. You may not have seen this before. This is the jailer taking them and washing their stripes. How do you think that Paul and Silas got some of their stripes? By the jailer. He was in control over them. Immediately, he and his family were baptized. So I want you to see that all five ingredients from my chart, the book of conversions, teaching, the sinner heard, the sinner believed, the Philippian jailer repented because he washed their stripes, the same stripes that he had given them. Confession, you don't see it there, but it is a necessary inference that he confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then the sinner is baptized. The point is, the Philippian jailer had to put something on. He had to put something on it. He had to put something on it. My proposition for today. Something is the cost of obedience. It says, anyone who desires to be a disciple of Christ must not be prepared to do everything. But he or she must be prepared to do what? Something. Something. Now, this is just to get into the body of Christ, to have your sins paid for, to be righteous in the sight of God. But after that, there's more. Your whole lifetime, you have to do something. And God has given each one of us gifts that we can utilize to edify the body of Christ. For your notes, Ephesians chapter number 4, starting in verse number 11, read down. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse 11. He gives us all gifts to be able to edify the body of Christ. So don't become a Christian and say, "I made it. I'm here. I'm saved. I'm safe." No, it's time for you to go to work. It's time for you and me and us to do what? Something. We just got to find out what the something is. Find out what the something is. Fallen condition. There are false doctrine, false belief systems out here. False doctrinal beliefs, illegitimate hearts allow people to deny the responsibility that the road to salvation requires. You know that there are people that feel like they can come to worship anytime they want to? Just depending on how they feel. Well, you know, I was hanging out last night. I'm not going there today. I need my rest. I got to work tomorrow. Do you know that it's only because of the grace of God that you're able to breathe every single day? And the good job that you have is because God has allowed you to have the good job. And the good health that you have. I know it doesn't look like people have certain things going on medically. I know it doesn't. I have a medical condition that I've had since 1991 diagnosed. None of you know about it. None of you know about the medical condition. Because I don't walk around and say, oh, woe is me. I got to deal with this for the rest of my life. But when you follow God, you have to go all in. Understanding at the end of the day, what's the worst that can happen? I'm on the other side of life, in eternal life with Jesus Christ. What's the worst that can happen? So I hope I'm inspiring you this morning. I want to provoke you to good works. We talked about the fallen condition. Oh, here we go. Another point. Misplaced preeminence. Let's go to Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 18. Misplaced preeminence. And we glossed over it a little bit. But sometimes people put other people over God. Can you imagine? When my grandmothers were here, I did love them. I did. But I'd be a fool to put my grandmothers over God. I love my parents, I love my kids, but I'd be fooled to put my kids over God. Misplaced preeminence. He is the first in importance, authority, ultimate priority, and rank above all things, the object of worship, the creator and sustainer of all things. Brother Knight, can you read Colossians chapter number 1, verse 18?
And he is the head of the body, the church,
yes,
who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence.
How many things, Brother Knight?
All things.
How many things
all
should
things.
God have preeminence in our lives? All things. We have people that will refuse to come to a Bible study to watch their favorite show. We're at a point in history now where they have something called record. Record. That is an excuse, the same kind of excuse that kept those that were invited to the supper out of the supper. Mm-hmm. So, quick test. What do you have to do to be a child of God? What do you have to do to be a child of God? Hear the gospel. Believe the gospel. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repent. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Be faithful unto death. And God says he will give you what? A crown of life. But in between that baptism and that be faithful unto death, there's that something that the title is about. That's that something. Put something on it. What will you put on your life with Christ? What are you willing to give up? What are you willing to put down? What are you willing to do more of? What are you willing to do less of? I just shared something upstairs and marriage class. I probably shouldn't say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. Anybody remember Little House on the Prairie? Show of hands, Little House on the Prairie. You got to be like over. All right, I got a couple people over 45. Little House on the Prairie. I'm watching the episode the other night, and I'm by myself. And maybe because I'm getting older, I got more life that I can reflect on. And there was it was about two little boys who were orphans. And they ran away because this adoptive couple didn't want to adopt both of them because one of them, the youngest one, didn't talk. They wanted two boys. They run into this older guy, and this older guy just start loving on both the guys, both the little boys, taking them fishing, cooking the meals, making sure they were in bed, reading with them. And at the end, the little boy who didn't talk, at the end of the show, he runs out to the older guy after the older guy told him that he loved him. And the little boy runs and grabs him by the legs, and he looks up. What is the show, about 30 minutes? 30 minutes, he didn't say anything. He looked up and said, "I love you." And at that point, my allergy started to act up. I said to myself, what is going on with me? But it was so profound because that's what God has given us. He's given us love. Isn't it only right to give love back to the person who gave you love? Isn't it only right to give effort to the people that give you effort? So my point today is, as a child of God, if you're not in the body of Christ already, if you're not in the body of Christ, the Bible says that you're in darkness. You are away from God. Because the Bible says that our sin separates us from him. You can find that in Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. And you have an opportunity to obey the gospel this morning. All you have to do is come to the front and you say, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God," will baptize you into Christ. You'll be a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? He's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You can start to put something on top of what God has already done. He's given you love. He's given you an opportunity to just not have to pay for your sins. Because he says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. If you have time, stay back for the comparing notes. I have more that I want to share, but I'm going to stop right here. I think I'm going to stop right here so I can pass these things out. We're going to stand and we're going to sing the song of invitation. If you feel in your